Don't you just love it when somebody starts a conversation with you by saying, "Can I say something to you without you getting mad?" You know it's going to be one of those conversations. Coming to you from Riverside, California, and podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb, and this is the LifeSpring 1 Year Bible Rewind, the daily podcast where we read the entire Bible in a year. This is a hybrid show, meaning some of the content is new, some is not. But hey, the Bible is evergreen, right? But this season, I'm freshening things up with new stuff. Our reading today is Job, chapters 3 and 4. I'll give you some of my thoughts on those chapters. Let's dive in. Job chapter 3. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job spoke and said, "May the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said, 'A male child is conceived.' May that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, may darkness seize it. May it not rejoice among the days of the year. May it not come into the number of the months. Oh, may that night be barren. May no joyful shout come into it. May those curse it who curse the day, those who are ready to arouse Leviathan. May the stars of its morning be dark. May it look for light but have none, and not see the dawning of the day, because it did not shut up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide sorrow from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Why did the knees receive me, or why the breasts that I should nurse? For now I would have lain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth who built ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold, who filled their houses with silver. Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child, like infants who never saw light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They do not hear the voice of the oppressor. The small and great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter of soul, who long for death, but it does not come, and search for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly, and are glad when they can find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, and whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groanings pour out like water. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes." Job chapter 4. Eliphaz. "Job, will you be annoyed if I speak? I can't keep quiet any longer. You have taught many people and given strength to feeble hands. When someone stumbled, weak and tired, your words encouraged him to stand. Now it's your turn to be in trouble, and you are too stunned to face it. You worshiped God, and your life was blameless, so you should have confidence and hope. Think back now. Name a single case where someone righteous met with disaster. I've seen people plow fields of evil and plant wickedness like seed. Now they harvest wickedness and evil. Like a storm, God destroys them in his anger. The wicked roar and growl like lions, but God silences them and breaks their teeth. Like lions with nothing to kill and eat, they die, and all their children are scattered. Once a message came quietly, so quietly I could hardly hear it. Like a nightmare, it disturbed my sleep. I trembled and shuddered. My whole body shook with fear. A light breeze touched my face, and my skin crawled with fright. I could see something standing there. I stared, but I couldn't tell what it was. Then I heard a voice out of the silence. 'Can anyone be righteous in the sight of God or be pure before his Creator? God does not trust his heavenly servants. He finds fault even with his angels. Do you think he will trust a creature of clay, a thing of dust that can be crushed like a moth? We may be alive in the morning, but die unnoticed before evening comes. All that we have is taken away. We die, still lacking wisdom.'" They say that one of the best indicators of one's strength of character, and I'll throw in relationship with God, is how we deal with hardship. Do we collapse like a house of cards, or do we rise up, steel ourselves, ask the Lord for wisdom and strength, and keep on keeping on? How we react to circumstances is a choice. We decide. Well, as chapter 3 opens, Job has just lost nearly everything. Most of his wealth, his children, and his health. And his wife has just told him to curse God and die. Thanks, sweetheart. He doesn't have much more to lose, does he? Well, remember, Satan wins if Job does curse God. That was Satan's challenge. And so, with the opening of chapter 3, we have the opening salvo in the battle for Job's mind and soul. Will he curse God? Will he fold? How will he decide to deal with his great loss, the physical and emotional pain he's in? How will he think about what others think about him? What will he think about God in light of his circumstances? Well, most of the remainder of this book that bears his name will reveal the answers to these questions. We'll see Job's character and his relationship with God, and maybe we can learn from Job so that when we face loss and pain, as everybody does, we'll be better prepared to make choices for our reactions that will glorify God. And as the chapter opens, Job curses the day he was born and the night that he was conceived. Given his present suffering, he'd rather have never existed. Well, that makes me think of the Jimmy Stewart Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You know the story. Stewart's character, George Bailey, a good man who's loved by his wife, his kids, and most of the little town he lives in, comes into some tough times through no fault of his own. And in the depths of feeling sorry for himself, and as he ponders whether or not he should jump off of the bridge and into the icy drink, he says, "I wish I'd never been born." And so an angel arranges for his wish to come true and then proceeds to show George how the world would have been much worse off without him. It's a good movie that the lovely lady Leanne and I watch nearly every year. Well, of course, Job is admittedly much worse off than George Bailey, and he has quite a lot to say in the midst of his misery. It's really pretty pathetic, but you have to have some empathy for him if you've ever been in a hard place. I'm not making light at all of his circumstances, but he really let it out. But he did not curse God. Can you imagine the enemy's frustration? Ha ha ha! I love that. I love to make the enemy angry. Well, so after Job speaks for a while, one of the three friends who've come to sit with him decides that he can't take it anymore. He's got to say something. Don't you just love it when somebody starts a conversation with you by saying, "Can I say something to you without you getting mad?" You know it's going to be one of those conversations. Well, that's how Eliphaz begins his talk. That's just how I would want a friend to start things off when I'm in agony. How about you? Maybe not. Well, then Eliphaz goes on to say that people reap what they sow. The implication being that Job must have done something to deserve what he's going through. Now remember, the only thing Job has done to deserve what's happening to him is to have lived a blameless life. Imagine what he must be thinking right about now as his well-meaning friend is speaking. Job was a better man than I, so maybe I can't really put myself in his place, but my guess is that he wasn't smiling in agreement with Eliphaz. Several years ago, my son Stephen was very, very sick. He was quite literally at death's door. His mom and I didn't know if he would live or die. And the people we appreciated the most were those who demonstrated love to us and to my son with their time and with their meals and even with financial assistance. They knew that all our time and emotional energy was invested in caring for our boy. That kind of friend is like a breath of fresh air. They bring healing and a ray of sunshine to a dark place. So be that kind of friend. Don't be an Eliphaz. What do you think? Please send me your comments at comment.lifespringmedia.com, and I'll share some of those comments from the Lifespring family on the show. Remember, this show isn't just for you to listen to. I want you to participate as a family does. You're very much a part of the show, so comment. You can also email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Does the LifeSpring one-year Bible Rewind have value for you? You're listening, so I guess it has some value, right? Well, how much value it has is something that only you can decide. Do you think that helping people read through the Bible in a year is a good thing? Is helping you read through the Bible a good thing? Do the thoughts I share at the end of each day's reading help you understand or help you think more about what we've read? All I'm asking is that you decide and then help keep the show going by sending me whatever value you think it's worth. You can find some suggestions and some rewards over at support.lifespringmedia.com. Every donation, no matter the size, is very much appreciated. A big part of value for value is time, talent, or treasure. You've heard it many times. I've been talking about treasure, but time and talent is important too. Is there something that you can contribute that you think would help the show? Let me know at steve@lifespringmedia.com. However you support the show, as members of the LifeSpring family, you are very much a part of producing the show. And when you support it, you're helping to spread the good news. So God bless you for doing that. I want to mention a few folks that have been supporting the show on a weekly or monthly basis. Brother Michael Hainer streams Sats as he listens every single day. Plus, he donates $7.77 every week. Thank you, Brother Michael. God bless you. And James in Norway sends $20 a month. Thank you, James. And Joel Villanueva sends $3.33 a month. Joel, thank you so much. Kevin Dill sends $50 a month. Thank you, Kevin. Chase Jacobson is a monthly $20 donor. Chase, thank you so much. Jorn Rune Reiterson donates $5 a month. Jorn, thank you. And Anonymous recently increased their monthly donation from $33.33 a month to $77.33 per month. Thank you, Anonymous. Much appreciated. And there are a few others that have sent donations recently that I want to thank since we're doing a fresh donation segment here. Paul Allen donated $10 in August. Daniel Torello donated $100, also in August. And Brother Phil Down Under donated $333.33 in July, and then again here in October. Brother Phil, thank you. And I also want to thank those of you that have been streaming Sats and Boosting using a new Podcasting 2.0 app. My Bitcoin note has been down for months, so I don't see the Sats report like I would like to. But I believe I might be having the node back up in a day or two. I'm actually making progress with the help of ChatGPT. But all that aside, I do want to express my heartfelt gratitude for the support from the LifeSpring family while I took a break from producing new content for the show. May God richly bless each of you. Thank you so much. On this date in church history, October 30th, Dietrich Bonhoeffer preached his final sermon on this date in 1941. He was a German pastor and theologian, and he preached what would be his final sermon in Berlin. The Nazi regime was tightening its control over churches, pushing a version of Christianity shaped by nationalism and racial ideology. Bonhoeffer stood against it, helping lead the Confessing Church, which proclaimed that Christ alone is the head of the church. Amen. Amen. Bonhoeffer spoke of what he called costly grace, the grace that calls us to follow Christ even when obedience is costly. Because of that conviction, he was banned from teaching, speaking, and eventually worshiping publicly. But he did not remain silent. He joined the resistance against Hitler, helping those targeted by the regime and serving those suffering under oppression. For this, he was arrested, imprisoned, and finally executed in April of 1945 at the Flossenbürg concentration camp just weeks before the war's end. His last recorded words were simple. This is the end, for me, the beginning of life. Tomorrow we'll read Isaiah 7:11. Tell a friend about the show, would you? One way we can make the world a better place is to get God's Word into more hands, more ears, and more hearts. Don't you think? Comment on the show at comment.lifespringmedia.com or email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. I'll even read some of your comments right here on the show. I do want to hear from you. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.